Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If we're going to be benching guys for righteous reasons, if we're going to be benching guys for not running out ground balls, if we're going to be benching guys for just making boneheaded plays, not making plays at all, we better start a line behind O'Neal Cruz, because nobody on the Pirates outside of the guy pitching today is presumably innocent in that regard. That was my first thought. You bench O'Neal Cruz, all right, should Spencer Horwitz be benched for not understanding how to stand on a base properly to receive a throw that almost cost the Pirates? Maybe. Joey Bart, talked to Starkey about that. He didn't run out a ball, didn't even touch first base, I don't think. Bench him too. I'm actually seriously advocating for this, because here's what might surprise you. I'm normally an O'Neal Cruz defender. I am normally a guy who will tell you that O'Neal Cruz, I don't want to say needs to be coddled or anything like that, because he doesn't, but is somebody that should probably have slightly different rules apply to him because of his talent. I'm normally somebody that takes that tack with players of his capabilities. O'Neal Cruz hasn't been living up to the billing, and Don Kelly was right to bench him yesterday in that game. He would have been more right had he benched him for today's game, but I'll take something, because in this particular case, something is better than nothing. Chris Muller, PM team, Donald Q Football is on the other side. Intern Jack is in there as well. We've decided he looks like a younger Alfred Molina at the end of yesterday's show. The phone number is 412-928-9370. If you want to get involved, that is also the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pirates Brew Crew starting shortly. They should have benched O'Neal Cruz today, though. He's hitting fifth in the lineup. That is seen by some as a demotion. Greg Brown was on with us yesterday. Didn't even think that O'Neal Cruz should have been hitting leadoff anymore. Thought he should be the cleanup hitter when things are going right. So you're putting him in a spot in the lineup where he has a chance to do more damage. I don't really think that that tells O'Neal Cruz you're getting punished here, but as a half measure. I think that tells O'Neal Cruz we need you out there because, my God, have you seen the rest of your teammates? Even them trying their hardest isn't very good. I'll give Don Kelly credit, though, for doing something that, in my recollection, Derek Shelton never did, and that's actually showing a player his displeasure with his action or lack of it in a game. There's at least something there from Don Kelly. Shelton gave you none of this. When was the last high-profile time a guy got benched? Clint Hurdle benched McCutchen for not running out a pop-up. McCutchen responded well. Cruz yesterday threw his interpreter. I mean, I watched it. I tried to gauge body language. I thought he sounded as penitent as he should have. He said he didn't fight back. He didn't say that this is BS. He said he was right to bench me. The thing that kind of gets me is, if you take O'Neal Cruz's explanation of why he didn't go hard down the line there at face value, his reasoning is actually worse almost than not hustling. He didn't know how many outs there were. I saw people who were looking closely at the play say he didn't really stop running until the out was recorded at second base. That actually suggests that he didn't know. Not great. Not great, Bob. Not what you want. The bottom line is nobody on the Pirates, though, should be above getting benched. O'Neal Cruz is their most talented player by a mile, at least of position players. He is so far removed or away from playing at the level where you just slough that off, give him a two-inning slap on the wrist, and then send him right back out there like nothing happened. He's so far removed from that that I think you easily could have made an example out of him today and said, hey, nobody's above the law. Your OPS is about 500 in the month of June. Take a day off. Yes, we're going up against a guy who might strike out 12 or 13 Pirates today. We could probably use you in the lineup, but we'll just go with the bigger picture here. I would have sent a bigger picture message here. If Donnie Kelly is trying to build something, I think it's more important for the best player, at least the most talented player on the team, to know, hey, you got to go hard out there. You've got to try. You've got to also know the situation than it is to have him in the lineup in the hopes that he might be able to hit one over the fence. He also is in such a ridiculous slump, is O'Neal Cruz. A month-long slump. If you gauge it from the way he played in the first month plus of the season till now, he's in a two-month slump. He probably could just use a day off for general principles. Just a nice two-day reset because they don't play tomorrow. And let's attack the second half of the season with a better outlook and maybe with a fresh mind. I think you can also make a case that if you're going by O'Neal Cruz's Olé routine on a ground ball to the outfield, followed by him just standing there slumping his shoulders, you could give him the old collective, hey, this isn't just for yesterday, this is for a couple days before that. It ain't good enough. I would say two innings isn't enough. And I would say this was a chance for Don Kelly. You don't have to be some hard ass. You don't have to be the guy that's like, look at me. I'm tough. These players are going to go hard down the line every time. No one does that. No less a blood and guts Pittsburgh athlete than Brooks Orpik back in his day admitted that guys pace themselves. So if it was good enough for a guy that won titles here, it should be good enough for any, or a title here, it should be good enough for anybody. But like, you still need to show like basic awareness of situation, and you can't just be hangdog out there like looking like glum, like somebody just kicked you in the stomach and told you you're no good after you make a mistake. And they had a chance, I think, did Don Kelly, to sort of set that tone to make it clear that nobody's above the law here, and I think he took a half measure instead. And so I would have sat O'Neal Cruz for this game. I think there could have been multiple benefits. I think O'Neal Cruz, based on how he took yesterday's benching, at least after the game, doesn't seem like somebody who would go completely in the toilet. I thought he was pretty stand-up about the whole thing afterward. I know that he's speaking in a language most of us don't understand. I caught maybe every fifth word and could understand those words. Correr is to run, by the way, in Spanish. I heard that one in there. I don't think he's the kind of guy, though, who would have been benched today and said, well, that's pretty much it for me. I'm toast. But I think you could have sent a message about what matters as far as body language, compete level, focus, all that stuff. Instead, they sent the half message. The bigger problem, of course, with the Pirates is, and this is where I started the show, if you were going to bench players for occasional lack of effort, for lack of focus, for lack of baseball 101 sense, which I think at the pro level ought to be something that is a benchable thing. If a kid in Little League puts his wrong foot on the base or doesn't get in the correct position, okay, he's 12. You're teaching somebody how to play the game still at that point. You've got the fundamentals down, but you're trying to get the finer points down. I get that. But in terms of pro baseball, if you're at the major league level, you should have the basics down. Adam Frazier can't execute a bunt to save his life. How long's he been in the major leagues? And so on and so forth. There's so many examples of this, I could keep going. Key Brian Hayes, I think, has forgotten the number of outs in a game before, in an inning. The problem with the Pirates is if you were going to bench every infraction and attempt to make an example of a player here and a player there when they are way out of line of what is expected for a major league ball player, Donnie, do you know how many players you would actually have if you were fielding a team on a given game? None. Paul Skeens throwing to himself. Perhaps Henry Davis back there. Has Davis screwed up anything royally lately that you can think of that jumps immediately to mind? Maybe IKF would be out there too. He's the glue that holds this team together.
Yeah, I can't think of any like actually boneheaded stuff from those two.
Okay, so they can. So you got a catcher, Skeens pitching, a shortstop. Nick Gonzalez gets to play for right now. He's good. Need that bat in the lineup. Point is, O'Neal Cruz is not the only one. I think he gets talked about like he's the only one because he's the most talented, because when he doesn't bring it, it's very obvious. That doesn't mean that other guys in this team aren't guilty of some of the very same sins, albeit ones that are not as, I guess, visible and kind of ugly. So I think Don Kelly got it half right, but half right also means half wrong. He should have benched him today. He was right to pull him from the game yesterday. And I think he had a chance to send a stronger message, but didn't. Not Don Mattingly. He's not Donnie Baseball. He is Donnie Football, but he has baseball opinions. Your quick thoughts on what went down last night, how it was handled then, and what you think should have happened today.
You hit on it a little bit where I was going to go, but I think Kelly made the right move last night when it happened, because you want to be able to put some sort of foot down as a manager. You want to be able to show your team and also show everybody else, yeah, I'm going to hold these guys accountable in some way, shape, or form. I agree with you. I would have given Cruz a day off or a benching, however you want to look at it. And he could have used a couple of things working in his favor there. It's an afternoon game. You know, he's been playing a good bit. It's back-to-back night games.
He's had
a
miserable month. When a guy's having this bad of a month, sometimes you just give him a day off.
Yeah, he has not been seeing the ball well or hitting the ball well whatsoever.
Mostly non-competitive at-bats, too, I would say. Like, it's not even that he's not getting hits or getting home runs. The at-bats look terrible often.
I think it could have been a pretty easy move on his part to do. Maybe they had some sort of other private conversation. They probably did, to give him reason to put him back in the lineup today and hope that, okay, he can rebound from this. But I kind of applaud him for the move last night. That's something we would not have probably seen under Shelton.
You know, it's the bigger problem, really quick here, is that how many games into O'Neill Cruz's MLB career? He's not a young guy, which I think is a misconception. Well, he's young to them. O'Neill Cruz is a full three and a half years, actually, more than 3.5 years older than Paul Skeens. He's going to be 27 in October. That's not young in baseball terms. He's played 315 games. That's essentially two full MLB seasons. But, like, this stuff, I know he's only played this season essentially as a center fielder, Donnie, where some of these major miscues have happened. The one not running after the ground ball that goes right by him, somebody else is going to get to that ball quicker, but it's almost the appearance from his perspective of, don't just stand there with your shoulder slumped. Take a couple quick steps like you're trying to go get it. And people are still going to be mad that the ball went right under your glove, but they're not going to be mad at the idea that you gave the outward appearance that you didn't give a crap. That's the problem here. He is far enough along, though, in his MLB career for this stuff to not keep happening. That's my problem. And this goes back to another long-standing issue with the Pirates that isn't just about O'Neill Cruz. It isn't just about any of this, you know, any one player. It's that so often we see guys come up, especially positional players, and they have a lot of talent, perhaps, and then it doesn't click together. When's it going to click for him? 6'7", unicorn. Didn't Aaron Judge say that he's basically the freakiest athlete in the league? The guy who's having another historically great hitting season basically gawked at O'Neill Cruz. They're showing in yesterday's game, before he gets benched, they're showing the batting practice homer he hit that had McCutcheon, a former NL MVP, like doing the, oh, I can't even avert, I got to avert my eyes, it's so crazy, right? Is he really, with all that talent, going to be a guy whose career OPS, when we take the four seasons or parts of them that he's actually played, is just going to be 754? A slightly above average offensive player? That's what he's going to be? That's on the team then. Like, this is just kind of one other example. That's on the team. That's a problem for them. That's a them issue, not just an O'Neill Cruz issue. And I would hope him getting benched yesterday, even though he's back in there today, I would hope that that starts the process of them trying to figure out what's wrong with him so that they can actually fix it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
PM team, solo Mulsey today. Andrew Filippone's on vacation. I know he's been at Medieval Times, at least, for part of this vacation. Did you also see, Don, that little Stella? It was a very similar, like, small yellowish python to the one I had on me at Living Treasures. She had that same, I think, breed of snake, obviously with a handler holding it, but it was, like, partially wrapped on her shoulders. Much braver than Dad.
I mean, much braver than me, too. I wouldn't do that in
100
lifetimes, no.
So you're like Indiana Jones with the snakes going on here. You can't handle them either?
Definitely not one like that.
I mean, okay.
I mean, in Stella Filippone, she's unflappable. We've seen that before.
She is. I'm just surprised that you're so... No, she's tougher than me. I would never do that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I want no part of that.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Pleased to be joined on said hotline right now by the pride of Butler, of course, former Major League hurler himself, so he knows a thing or two about an occasional big showdown on the mound. Matt Clement joins us right now. Matt, first off, just a complete curveball here. Would you let somebody put a snake like that on your shoulders? A python, maybe 3 or 4 feet long, not one that could do any damage. Are you okay with snakes like that?
I'm out. No way. I want no parts.
Fair enough. So, Donnie, you have good company here. Hey, first off, Matt, I know obviously we're going to talk a lot of baseball, but I know you're a big hoops guy as well. And not often in Pittsburgh that we get to say something like a Whippiel star is 48 minutes away from being an NBA champion, but TJ McConnell, largely because of his own efforts, the Pacers were that close to winning it. Just what as a basketball guy were your observations watching him throughout those playoffs, what he was able to do coming off the bench for Indiana?
Well, arguably, when Halliburton went down, maybe the MVP if they win that game. It's crazy to say that, but you think about the games they won and what the impact he had. You know, it was amazing. It was awesome. Like, he was a high school player. I didn't coach against him when I was coaching, so never really got to see him live very much. But, you know, go to Duquesne. Do your 3 years at Duquesne or 2 or 3 years at Duquesne. I had a player recruited by Ron Everhart at Duquesne at the time when he basically told him he's going to Sean Miller in Arizona. And, you know, it's a classic case of bet on yourself. Go to Arizona, surround yourself with a great coach in Damon Stoudemire, who's a great point guard in the NBA, and Aaron Gordon and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, two lottery picks that can fly. Show what you can do. Get somebody to like you. And what a career he's had. I mean, so I know his dad. I know I've coached against his brother, but just feel like everybody here that's been in the Whippiel and basketball during my time is just so proud of what he did and the way he did it.
My favorite thing about TJ is there's that old picture of him when he was already playing varsity at Char Valley as a freshman, and he looked roughly as like he was about as skinny as one of those vertical coat racks. So you don't expect a guy who doesn't have the physical prowess, and TJ's not the biggest guy in the world. He's obviously in great shape. He's turned himself into a big-time athlete to make it that far. You watched him, though. You saw him at Duquesne. You see him at Arizona. At what point, like, your studied mind, you know, your very, like, wise coach's mind as a basketball coach, do you say, huh, you know, this guy might actually have what it takes to stick at the next level despite how tough it is to be a serviceable NBA player with, you know, just the level of talent and athleticism in that league?
Well, I always say in professional sports, like, it's right place, right time. There's you know, he got to the Sixers, you know, and then you got to take advantage of that chance you get when he got the chance for the Sixers, and he became he's become a cult hero everywhere he's went too.
Yep.
He's probably not physically supposed to be doing what he's doing. Great part about him. That's the great part about watching him. He's not supposed to be, you know, driving to the hoop over Chet Holmgren and making layups and guarding SGA on the perimeter and stuff. So, you know, you could see it at Arizona that there was a path because he put himself in like a pro system there around pro guys. And there's that path that he can create, you know, he can be the creator. He can make the offense run. And then when you're tough, you're a coach's son, you have all those credentials with you, you know, you're going to find yourself a role and man, just so awesome for him, man.
Matt Clement joining us right now. You know him, of course, the pride of Butler High School and a longtime MLB pitcher, so we'll switch to baseball right now. Paul Skeens dealing currently. I just watched him with Christian Yelich with relative ease. He's actually the younger starter in this game, Matt, even though Mizorowski's new on the scene for the Brewers. Skeens is about a month and a half younger than him. He is barely 23. I've not had a chance yet to ask you about this ever. Just what are your initial impressions of why Paul Skeens this early on has been so good?
I mean, what a great way to earmark my first time on the air, the Mizorowski-Skeens first matchup.
It's a big boy, you know, pitching matchup. Mizorowski's throwing like 106, it looks like, out there.
But, I mean, honestly, like I, you know, Paul Skeens, you know, aside from very, there's very few people that I would take on a team right now over him. And Ohtani, I guess you can't not take Ohtani, right? Mm-hmm. But as far as a pitcher and young, and I have a little bit of experience with like people asking about things, the first thing that comes to my mind was, you know, Mark Pryor. Mark Pryor was the Paul Skeens of my era, and I was on that team with him. Mm-hmm. And when he came up, but like he's like another level of Mark Pryor, and to be throwing like he is, and with such poise, and the four or five different pitches he's throwing, and just dominating hitters. I mean, being the all-star starter and doing it on a, you know, doing it on a not good team. You know, the Pirates haven't been good. So it makes it, you know, it's not like he's rolling in on the Yankees or Atlanta or somebody like that doing it. He's doing it on a team that you know, has struggled to score runs and not been in the division the 2 years he's done this. And to still be as elite as he is, that shows like his moxie and his ability inside, like to handle that along with the fact that, like, I mean, it's sky's the limit. Like there's nobody else I'd take in the big leagues.
Matt, when you got into the bigs, you were in your age 23 season with San Diego. Then you got your first real taste, like starting a full season's worth of games the next year. The thing that I've marveled about with Skeens is like the mental approach seems just, it's like I say it's Randy Johnson's physical talent or like velocity with Greg Maddux's cerebral approach to pitching. How long did it take you in your career to feel comfortable like setting up hitters and kind of approaching it from that mental side of it the way that Skeens apparently just rolled right out of bed doing it 21 years old?
I don't know if I ever was at the level he's at right now, honestly, if I'm being honest about it. But no, the thing about each level you go to, I tell high school kids this all the time. I tell my basketball players, every level you go to, the game gets faster when you go up a level. So to see him go from college, basically nothing in the minor leagues, to dominating in the big leagues, it's unlike really anything we've seen before. And that's a great comparison. It's Roger Clemens with the Maddux mindset, although Roger Clemens had some of that mindset to himself. But like it was a thing when the game slowed down for me. Gosh, I was probably in my second, third year with the Cubs. Maybe the end of my first year with the Cubs, which was 5 years of minor league baseball, two with the Padres, one with the Marlins, and one with the Cubs before it kind of clicked in for me. And to see him do it day one is just that's why I think so highly of him. It's what a blessing for Pittsburgh to get him and you know, and to be able to watch him and see this every night. It's like we're calling it Paul Skeens Day. The guy's been here for 1 year. It's crazy.
Matt, last wraps here on this one, and it's obviously the most topical thing right now, but what did you just make of O'Neill Cruz, Don Kelly, sitting him down for the last couple innings because he didn't run out that double play ball? I know Cruz said he forgot how many outs there were. The video kind of backs that up, but just from a bird's eye view, that situation, how this team can get him jump-started, and maybe what the teammates are maybe thinking when they see a guy maybe not running the ball out, having the ball go under his glove and not really going to chase after it. What's your kind of read on the O'Neill Cruz situation in real time?
Well, I think that if you take the problem or why this is blowing up like it is the ball under the glove, that play and not going after it. Have that less than a week ago or last weekend, and then this happened right after it. Have a full scale, you know, with him not hitting as well at the time. You have a full scale issue or something to talk about, right? And you know, it's, you know, era. We're in a different era now, and I always try to take that into effect when I'm talking about this or thinking about this. In my era, all heck would have broke loose over one of those things, let alone two of them in 1 week. And but it's a different era now. And Donnie Kelly, who I know personally is from that era of mine, and I think he handled it really well. And I thought that, like, you know, Pham and McCutchen and Reynolds, you have some guys there that probably took care of it before Don took care of it. And that's what they're there for. That's why you have those people on the team. And Cruz obviously spoke and responded the right way. And it's just going to be a patience thing with Cruz, because like the things he can do, they're similar to things that Skeens can do. But we just talked about how Skeens figured it out day one when he walked into the league, and how rare that is, almost impossible, never seen before. So, you know, with the Pirates, they're going to have to be patient that all this stuff is going to eventually click in, kick in and be that person. But at the same time, when plays like that happen, the patience wears off with the fans, especially when you're when you're a team that's struggling. So it all kind of goes hand in hand.
Matt Clement, we appreciate it, man. This was a great first voyage here this year, and we'll look forward to doing this again next week. Matt, thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Man, I love the hoops talk, though. You can hear him you can hear the true love of hoops come out talking TJ. I like that, man. That was good stuff about Skeens, too. Just I do think, like, when you're trying to conceptualize how it's even possible, you hear him talk about it. Matt Clement won almost 100 games, started almost 250 games. He said it took till maybe his third full year in the league before he felt, like, comfortable. Not a bad pitcher.
Yeah,
like a solid major league career as a pitcher.
Right. I didn't think about the Mark Pryor connection too, which was a pretty good one.
Right.
Like I was young when Mark Pryor came around, but I mean he was a big deal at the time that he kind of sprung onto the scene.
Pryor, I mean, obviously the thing with him was I feel like the arm trouble wasn't like a known thing then. It was just I think he was a little smaller than Skeens too. But that's always going to be, of course, a back of the mind thing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyway, PM team, solo Mulsey today, pony on vacation. Tyler Kennedy right now joining us. You can also check out The Fan on Twitter. Always like to remind you, at 93.7 The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. TK, pony on vacation right now. I think he's down in like Hilton Head, and his little girl... they were at some sort of animal park, and she had one of those like pythons that's about 3 or 4 feet long, and it was draped on part of her shoulders while one of the handlers held it. Would Tyler Kennedy allow somebody to put like a 3 or 4 foot python on his shoulders?
Never. That's like my biggest fear. Like, I don't care about like mice, like spiders, nothing like that scares me.
Really?
I'm dead scared of snakes. Snakes just like throw me for a loop. I used to wake up I remember when I was younger, I'd wake up and I'd be jumping around because I thought like snakes were coming out of the ground. Like I had nightmares about snakes.
Wow. Okay. So just the backstory here. We had Matt Clement, former MLB pitcher from Butler High way back when, just on before you. Donnie Football admitted he would never let a snake near him like that. Clement goes, no thanks, I'm passing on the snakes. Here I am feeling like a pretty tough guy, TK. I let one of those same pythons just hang out on me for like 5 minutes. I was like, yeah, whatever. No big deal.
Yeah, never. Like, I don't know why, but like when I was growing up in Canada, we had a ton of like gardener snakes all over like my cottage, and they just like freak you out.
Okay, even though that snake cannot do anything to you, you could pick it up and use it like a rope and throw it.
Yeah, it's still like very creepy for me. And the guy played with Brent Burns. He would actually take him on the plane. He wouldn't tell anyone. And if we were going to Detroit, he had a guy who was breeding these snakes, so he would take a snake and put it in a bag, and he'd open the bag and he'd leave it on the bus and he'd bring it right on the plane. And that's how he got it back to California, because he started to breed snakes too. It was nuts.
I mean, was Samuel L. Jackson alerted to this? They made a whole movie about snakes on a plane. They literally called it Snakes on a Plane. And here is Brent Burns living that life. Interesting.
Yeah, it was like Brent Burns is maybe the most interesting guy in the NHL for just like being out of the box, not like your standard like hockey guy who likes golf, likes all like the simple stuff. You know, he's a guy that like, I think he owns like a ranch now, and he's got like zebras and everything on his ranch, and he like lives that like wildlife. He's like the liver king. You know, like, you know, the Liver King's always like running no shoes on. He's kind of like Burns.
The Liver King right now is in a bad spot. He's he had to bail himself out of jail. He got booked for threatening Joe Rogan. So the Liver King, it's gone the other direction. I hope that's not how Brent Burns' next couple months go, TK.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching them, you know, the Liver King stuff. He's he's went off the deep end. Maybe too many steroids. He's kind of going crazy. But
steroids? I thought that was just from eating raw meat. I can't possibly imagine he was taking steroids, TK.
It was, but what was it, ball testicles? Would you ever eat ball testicles?
Bull testicles. Like I think he was doing enough steroids that Secretariat would have been jealous back in the day. Tyler Kennedy right now brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. TK, I do have some actual hockey to talk with you about, although bull testicles, Brent Burns, and snakes on a plane, honestly, is very entertaining to me. You've got a big decision that Kyle Dubas is going to have to make. How does he handle having the 11th and 12th picks in this draft? If you were Dubas, would you think about trading up to try to get one of the more premium guys, even though it's not considered like this ultra high-end draft like next year will be?
I think I would probably wait on this year. It's not, like you said, the strongest draft, and I think you try to load up for next year and put yourself in a position. And it depends how they're going to do this year, right? It depends where they're at trade deadline. It depends where they're at Christmas. Are they going to kind of tank to try to get a real, real high-end pick, and now they're setting themselves up for the future really nice? Right now, I just don't think it's the right move to try to get up as high as possible this year unless they have someone on their radar that they really like.
If you're trying to rebuild, if you're Kyle Dubas too, I know they've been connected to the big defenseman, stay-at-home guy, and complete Kashawn Atchison, I think it is. If you're trying to rebuild, though, a team, are you looking for that like classic top four type defenseman at pick 11, something like that? Or are you trying to rebuild? Do you think you can rebuild a team more quickly, all things being equal, like the players being of equal pedigree with a forward?
I think you take care of your defense first, especially with how this year went, right? Like, we are really missing a guy like Brooks Orpik, Scuderi, like a Dumoulin at the start, a guy that you can let those guys like Chris Letang, you know, Carlson run, because you know there's going to be a guy that's always going to stay back, who's always going to be make the right decision with the puck. I think you're looking for a guy like that, especially right now. I think defense was a big problem last year moving forward, which needs to be addressed. And if they have a guy like that, I think he could help a lot with just simple plays, getting it out of the zone, just getting it away from some of their goalie situations.
Well, then I want this Atchison kid because he's 6'2". He is apparently, he's a left shot. He is apparently described by everybody as a, basically on the ice, a real mean SOB. That sounds exactly like Brooks Orpik, basically.
Yeah, and we do need, again, we need some sandpaper. We need some guys back there that when you go in the front of the net, like, you remember why you don't go there too much is because you're going to take a beating. You know, when you have guys that let you hang out in front of the net and don't make you pay a price, they score too many goals there. You need guys to remind you that it's a hard place to go. It's not easy scoring goals in front of the net because you have those D that are going to pound you in front, that are going to make you pay. They're going to make you leave with some black and blue bruises after the game. So, yeah, I think this would be a great pick.
TK, Tyler Kennedy joining us right now on the PM team. How would you try to handle this offseason? So you mentioned, like, you know, how does Kyle Dubas want to do it? Does he want to set himself up or look at it next year midstream and, hey, are we closer to the bottom? Are we sneaking around a playoff spot still? How would you actually handle this offseason if you were Dubas? Would you be trying to accelerate this rebuild, or would you be looking to say, I'm more loading up that the 2026 offseason is the one where I really want to make my big moves, my splash moves, and take care of business?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is I would start making a couple moves to start the process, start looking for guys for the future. And right away, when you look at last year, I think the big problem was the goaltending, right? We have to figure out if Jari... Again, I think we said this last summer. Like, what do we do with the goaltending situation? We need to get a number one goalie. And then you look at the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers, won so handedly this year is because Bobrovsky was so solid. Like, having such a good goalie means so much. So I think they have to handle that situation. They have to see what they have and then go from there.
Isn't Bobrovsky, though, being so good, like, kind of an indication that it's hard to plan around a goal, like finding the goalie and having that goalie be great? Because we've seen the Penguins in previous playoffs turn him into a complete, like, basket case and just completely ruin him. That's why that position always strikes me as so volatile.
Right, and I think you have to give them time to find their game, to get that mentally strong attitude. Like, when you think of all goalies, they all go through ups and downs, from Fleury to him. You know, that I remember when Fleury really struggled. We played the Philadelphia Flyers, and it's just tough because goalies, they are hot and cold. And when they are cold, it's usually a pretty long time. But I feel like every goalie has to go through that so they can learn how to bounce back quicker and quicker every year. The more veteran you are in front of the net, the more veteran you are in that net, the better you are throughout the year. And I think guys like Bobrovsky, they've been through those battles. He was getting pulled 3 years ago from Florida. They weren't sure who their starter was, and then he caught fire in playoffs last year, and then he hasn't stopped since. So I think it just takes time, but I feel like we've given our goalies enough chances. You know, it's been 2 or 3 years where they've really struggled. I think it's time to maybe make a move and see what we can get for one of these guys, or move a defenseman for a better goalie.
Tyler Kennedy joining us another minute or so. TK, a couple quick thoughts, all right? Yes or no, deep down, because Josh Yoey writing that he's exploring trades as Kyle Dubas for this player, but that he wouldn't be unhappy if he ended up back on this roster. Do you think Kyle Dubas wants Erik Karlsson back with the Penguins next year in a perfect world for him?
No.
Evander Kane gets dealt by the Oilers to the Canucks, which is one that has some people scratching their heads. Evander Kane comes into your locker room. Is everybody kind of like, your reputation precedes you? Or is a guy like that getting a fair shake in a new place where it's, hey, your slate is clean with us, we're going to kind of wait and see how you act?
No, he's a cancer in the room.
Didn't know what you were going to say there, but his reputation, I thought, kind of preceded him, which is why I was shocked that the Canucks were willing to make that deal. I think that's all I got. I don't have any more snake questions for you, so I think we'll adjourn on that note, TK. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a great day.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.